Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. I just feel like doing that all night, just saying, praise God. That's how I feel. I just praise God. Thanksgiving. I praise and praise to God. How about if you're here for Bible college and maybe you, okay, two groups, the people that moved here to go to Bible college, would you just stand up where you are? If you moved here, you just came here. Okay, there we go, Florida. Yeah, Azerbaijan. Let's see. Turkey. Peru, yes. Wow, that's great. Okay, then others that came to Bible college, or you're in Baltimore, you're from Maryland, or anywhere in this, you know, yeah, guess just the rest of you stand up. Praise the Lord. Good. Wow. Federal Hill. Carolyn. Super. Wow, great. I am so thankful for that. I'm just so thankful for so many things. We have so much to be thankful for. Do you remember some years ago, Dr. Chung, the surgeon for the Navy, did surgery at the Bethesda Hospital in Maryland on an Afghani politician? Anybody remember that? The man, a suicide bomber, embraced him and detonated the bomb, and this man was nearly killed. But the United States flew him over here for surgeries, and Dr. Chung worked on him. Anybody remember that guy? He was sitting here, okay. Muslim background, of course. But God saved his life, and he knew that. And he came the first time in a Christian church here, right? First time. And he listened. And he sat right over there, like where Pastor Butch is sitting. And he was listening. And he came when he flew over. And then you know, I don't know where he is or what's happened, but I went to lunch with him. And I preached on grace in the morning. And I said, what did you understand about grace? And he told me something very fresh to me. It hit me in a fresh way. He said, grace is like my eyes. They're a gift. I don't pay for them. I'm born with them. God gave me eyes. That's like grace, isn't it? What do you have tonight that has been freely given to you? What do we have in our lives? That's all a gift. Now, what if a man is born and he has one eye and he sees every people with two eyes? What's he going to think?
I still have one.
I got one. But you could also think another way. What? Why didn't I have two? Why do they have two and I have one? This is a parable in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. And maybe we'll look at it a little bit later. But I just want to say that we have so much. We can be thankful all the time for what we have and how God wants us to know how much he loves us. And he wants us to love each other with that same love. We were lost, and that was very serious, but he reached us. He saved us. He forgave us. He sent his Spirit into us. He gave us exceedingly great and precious promises. They're very precious. Because you can't find them at Walmart or local university or the library. You can't find these promises from men. They only come from God. These promises are exceedingly precious and very great. And this is our fellowship in this reality of God, God's presence with us in our lives. And the more that we are able to relate to it and think about it, the better it is for us to live our life and process life through our faith. It's through our faith we're able to look at life. And we increase in our faith. There are many things you cannot increase in. There's a lot of things that we are. I have two arms and I don't increase with more. You know, I have a job maybe, but I may not increase. But you always, this is God, we always are able to increase in God. He gives the increase. Romans 10:17, we increase in our faith. We also grow in grace, 2 Peter 3:18, increasing in grace, understanding grace, living in grace, learning grace, and having an identity with God in His grace. I'll show you one short diagram here. I'm going to say David. Is it up on the... What? Okay, this is David's life. And I want to use a phrase. We taught this in one of our classes in Bible college. David could say, I am David. I like that phrase. I am David. I am David. And what did that mean when David said, I am David? But I am the Lord's anointed. I am saved by grace. I am indwelled by the Spirit. I once killed a lion and a bear. I saw God. In life, I know God. This is like David saying, my expectation is God. Psalm 62. But then he had a great victorious time, and he killed Goliath. And we could say when he killed Goliath, he was a hero. But if you talk to David afterwards, he would say, I am David. And this means that he had a baseline for his identity. He had a baseline for his identity. That's a good statement. Like, who are you? I am David. But who is David? I am a God. I am a man made in God's image. I am a man indwelt by the Spirit. We would say in our New Testament, I am crucified, but I live. But not me, but Christ lives in me. I am David. Well, who killed Goliath? God killed Goliath. And he used me. And I appreciate that. I know that. And that God used me. That was a great thing. But I am. Are you the giant killer? Yes, if God wants me to be. But actually, I know who I am. And it's not based on a performance. It's based on a deeper identity. The Spirit of God is present with me, and He speaks to my heart, and I am satisfied with who I am when nothing is happening. I am satisfied with who I am when I am not a hero in the eyes of people. I am satisfied with who I am because I know who God is, because the life isn't about you or me. It's about who God is. Therefore, we can constantly be thankful because this life is a life that is defined by His grace and His love toward us. So, it gets better. He has a bad time. And what's the name there?
Bathsheba.
What does he do? He commits adultery. Oh, David, you adulterer. You liar. you murderer, you proud, arrogant person. You stole a man's wife and then you killed her husband. How bad can it be? Who are you? Do you know what he did? He had a place to go. That is, I am David. Who are you? I am David. Made in the image of God. Forgiven by God. God loves me. He forgives me. He restores my soul. Who are you? I am David. When I am a hero, that doesn't mean much to me, because what means most to me is who I really am. And when I sin, listen to this. This is something you and I would have a problem with. When I sin, listen, Romans 7. When I sin, it is not I. It is not I. Well, who is it? You got to own your sin. Of course it's you. You did that. You made that decision. No, when you have a doctrinal understanding, it's a lot deeper than the natural man. Because the natural man is very good. Watch this. The natural man is very good at exalting heroes, and they're very good at destroying failures. Did you get that? Wow. The natural man loves the celebrities and the heroes, and they love this, and the celebrities and the heroes, they love the adoration, and give it to me. Give it to me because this is where I live. But if you talk to a man of God, he doesn't live there. It's not his definition. And nor is his failure his definition. His failure doesn't define his life. I am not an adulterer. I have been restored. I have been forgiven. I have been redeemed. I have been reconciled. God is my friend. God is for me, not against me. I am a child. I have sinned, but it is not I. But it is sin that dwells in me. But that's not my definition, isn't me and my sin. I understand that we would say we would own our sin. Definitely we do. And yet, once it is dealt with by the blood of Jesus, and I want to say that strongly, by the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, not some restoration program, by the blood of Jesus Christ, my sins are washed away. How thankful are we when we are defining our life by a spiritual understanding of who we are? That's why the psalmist said, my praise shall continually be in my mouth. Wait a minute. Will the praise be here when you kill Goliath? Definitely. Will the praise be there when you have sinned with Bathsheba? Eventually it will be there as I get it dealt with. It took a while for David to repent. It took a while for David to realize his error, maybe 9 months to a year. It took a while for him to be restored. But in Psalm 51, he wrote this psalm, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit in me, because I know who David is. I know who I am. Isn't that good? I hope it ministers to you. I hope it means something to you in your heart. And I hope you understand what I'm saying. When a believer is doctrinally instructed and understanding the still small voice, the quiet anointing and ministry of truth to his heart, he gets a baseline, and it doesn't matter if people are with him or not. It doesn't matter how bad life can be. He has always, Moses said, the Lord is my habitation. I have a hiding place, Colossians 3:3. We always have a reference. We go back to this amazing fellowship of truth and the Holy Spirit. ministers to us, and God restores our soul. God defines for us our life. God speaks to us and helps us in life. Amen. Would you take a minute? Would you take a minute just with your neighbor and just have a little talk with them about this lesson and see if you got it right? You just say, what did he say? And talk to your neighbor for a minute in fellowship. I was thinking about how we can be so thankful for people. I know Brittany Howard is moving back to Turkey, and what a awesome young lady she is, and we're just so thankful for her. And just going through the room and thinking about the lives of people who, with their life, their action, their attitude, who manifest Christ to people. And there are so many of them. And, you know, if my last name was Hadley, I'd like be a famous person. But the Hadleys and like Suhas and Anna, when you think of, you know, also the day school, Pastor Barry, and what he does in dealing with parents and children. I was in the high school today teaching, and just looking at these young people, their last year in high school, and learning their names and getting to know them a little bit, and just thinking of what an amazing thing it is. And I'd like to repeat, is it up on there still? Could we put the iPad back up, that diagram? Yeah. If we took this lesson and applied it in life, how do we see each other? Like, who are you? And to be honest, some people come into this church and they have this identity. But when we are with them, it's kind of like this is the fellowship in the body, is that I am David, you know. Like, this is the reality. And where is that in the scripture? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. By the way, my son is here, Kyle, who finished school. He's over here, I think. Yeah, he's over here. Finished school. So we're, glad he's home and on to the next chapter in his life. And it's such a amazing thing in body life when we identify with each other on this level of 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15. And that he died for all, and they which live should not live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Here's a good little lesson. Some people think if they're not up here somewhere in their identity, their category, then their life is meaningless. They have never done anything great in their eyes. They have never killed Goliath. They have never been famous or never accomplished any great thing. But in what we are teaching tonight, in our mind and in our hearts, we don't have to have that. We can sit here and receive and walk out and hand somebody a dollar bill or smile or rejoice or sing a song and go to work, the same job, same place for many years, and just say, I am David. That's fine with me. I am David. I am a motivated person, but I don't have to be like, I don't have to be great in that way. I have something, and you and I have something that is satisfying to us. And henceforth, we live not for ourselves. To be honest, some people live for themselves to be a hero or to do something great. But we are not living for ourselves. We are here for Him. And that might mean something very flat, but actually it's real. He is with us. He is present. He is satisfying. And then there are people that are down here in this category, and they are very discouraged because they say, I have sinned again and again and again. This is me. But when you come to Christ, He puts you in another place. And it's not that, because He gives grace. He teaches you. He establishes you. You have a new identity. And when we are together, this is how we see each other. In this, we could call it this flat line, kind of. Like this baseline. I know you. You are my brother. You are my sister. I see you. I see you. I see who you are. I know your value. I love you. You are my sister. You are my brother. I know your presence. I know God is with you. God has given you gifts and ministry and you are satisfied. You are satisfied. You are contented. You are internally free. You are loving. You are joyful. You are God's portion. You are a blessing. You are here. This is, read the text with me and we'll see. It says, verse 16, wherefore, because of this cross where He died and rose, now, verse 16, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. The word flesh has this meaning of our fallen nature, but we have in English, the flesh is the material muscles and bones of our bodies. There is that word soma, but for the body. But the word flesh is referring to the fallen nature of man, our sin nature. I don't know you according to your ego in the flesh, your identity in your pride. Somebody was telling me they were at an event with wealthy people, and at that event it was just so filled with pride. They had no fellowship. It was not a wedding of ours. It was in another place, and it was just very high rollers, they called them, you know, very wealthy people, and their ego and the connections with people and this kind of society is knowing people after the flesh. One time I was with Pastor Love up in New York, and there was an NBA game, and there was a man who just signed a contract for, 23-year-old man signed a contract for $84 million, and I, you know, was with him and shook his hand and said a few words, you know, and encouraged him to listen to Pastor Love. Because Pastor Love is there in a fellowship with these particular men that do not need people to know them after the flesh. They need something more permanent. They need a ministry. People don't need us to know them as a celebrity. Celebrityism is like sinful. It's about the flesh of men. It's ego. It's name dropping. It's how important my self-importance, my reputation, my popularity. But in the body of Christ, we don't know people this way because it's not us. If you kill Goliath, the next day he's sitting with you around a campfire. David is sitting with you around a campfire and just saying, wow, God is awesome. God is awesome. God did that. And the brothers are understanding that David is identifying in the fellowship of grace and knowing that Jesus Christ is real. Now go to the sinful thing of David. Do you know what he needs? He needs love, forgiveness, not to know him after the flesh, not to judge him. God judges him. We do not judge people. We are ministers. We are giving wisdom. We are giving guidance. We are giving grace. And we don't know people after the flesh. That's what it says. Are you from Corinth or are you from Ephesus? It doesn't matter to me, wherever you happen to be from. Are you from this part of society or that part of it? That's not my fellowship. We are not respecters of people based on the flesh. We are in a fellowship of the Spirit, a fellowship of grace, a fellowship of truth that is able to build us up and edify. Look at us here tonight in churches across the country who are assembling on a Wednesday night. And why? Because we want to feed from the Lamb. We want to be fed from the Spirit. We want to drink the Spirit of doctrine and truth that is able to build us up and give us an inheritance or reveal to us the inheritance that we have that is in Christ Jesus. Based on this baseline, you cannot stop. It just is continually edifying to you and building you up in your heart. You're walking with Jesus. Oh, I just need to be with Jesus. Does there have to be a miracle? No, I just want to be with Jesus. Do you have to understand everything? No, I want to walk with Jesus and live by faith in Jesus. What is Jesus doing? This is God in the flesh, isn't it? This is amazing. So the rest of the verse goes, verse 16. Knowing no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. There we have knowing Jesus as some people knew Jesus. They knew him as a rabbi, like they knew him. They didn't believe in him as the Messiah. They could walk with him, touch him even. Remember the story, Mark 5? Everybody's touching Jesus. A woman crawls in, touches the hem of the garment, and virtue goes out of him. And he said, who touched me? And the disciples said, many are touching you. And he, it's not written there, but you could imagine him saying, many are touching me, but many do not know me. But there's somebody that touched me, and they know me. They know me. They touched me. So in the world, there are many people touching Jesus, like those rock plays in Broadway, Pastor Steve, you know, Hair, and Jesus Christ Superstar. And those Broadway plays, remember back in whenever 60s or something, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? John 7. Who is Jesus? Who is? They know him after the flesh. Where was he born? He was not born in Bethlehem. He's from Nazareth. They knew him after the flesh, the color of his hair, the way he was, who he was. They knew him this way, but we don't know him that way. That's not how we know him. We know him this way. We touch him, and virtue comes. We are spirit-filled. We are edified. We are encouraged. We're not running around trying to find. Do you remember that dead woman at the well? Like, she had had five men. Five men. But this man. That's a beautiful picture. I've had five men, but this man, you see, he knows me. He told me everything I've ever done. Nobody is like, drink from this well and you will never thirst. So she's not, after Jesus is with them for 2 days and Jesus goes away, the woman isn't out there looking for another man. She's not looking for another man. She's done. She found him. That's like us. When I found Jesus, when you found Jesus, the search was over. You found him. You found the answer. You found the reality. You found the identity. You found the person you needed. You found God. God came into your life and satisfied you. And the search was over. And you were edified and built up in it and understood it and are growing in it. Okay, the next part, and we'll finish it, goes verse 16. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, and the Apostle Paul did know Jesus after the flesh when he was persecuting Christians, he did know Christ that way. This rabbi gone off the rails, this man who's an imposter, this Beelzebub. Do you know what Beelzebub is? It's Bel. There was a pagan god, Beelzebul. That was his name. Beelzebul, the house. I forget the meaning of it. And the Jews shifted the letters a little bit to mock it and called him Beelzebub, which means Lord of the flies. Lord of the flies. You know, he's the Lord of like flies. It's a derogatory slam on the pagan god. But the sad thing is they use the same name for Jesus. That he's Beelzebub. Oh no, he isn't. He is the Lord of lords. But they didn't know that. They knew him after the flesh. But then when you come to him and you know him in the spirit and you understand him, you are drawn to him. And that's what he's writing here. The last verse is 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Really, a new creature. The word new, you have two words in the Greek for new. One is like with time, like time, new time, like a new day becomes an old day. A new, you know, next hour, it's a new hour, but then it's past. Or a new car becomes an old car. That's like time. But this word new is new in its type, in its economy, in its order, in its nature. This is a new creature that never gets old. You are a new creation that'll never get old. That baseline there that David is living in, that is really in the Psalms and in our New Testament, the doctrinal understanding of who we are is really new creature that never, never, ever, never, ever will be old. It's what we live in. That's why some of us who came into the ministry back in 1972, and now we are in 2021, and it's just, again, continually, it's this new life that God has called us into, to partake of, to feed on, to be encouraged in. Do you go back to drugs? You could. But it's no party. It's not fun. It's not the answer. Could you be the giant killer? Yes, you could be, but it doesn't happen every day. With David, it happened once in his life that way. Might not happen every day, but that's okay, because that may be there. But, oh, thank you, Lord, that we are rooted and grounded in who you are. It's such an honor. Lord, thank you. Verse 17, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let's look at it this way. What things have become new? I would say my way of looking at life has become new. And this old way of hungering and thirsting for various things, it's passed away. And God has established us on something that'll never get old, never fail you and I, because it is God's grace toward us. If we fail, the grace abounds. If we get confused, the mind of Christ is always clear. If we are troubled, we always have the God as our comforter. We have an ever-present help in every time of need. We have a ministry of grace to us that'll never stop. And we have an identity that just will never, never give up. It's who we are. Okay? Amen. Would you pray with me, please? We'll finish. Lord, we just realize that we could be spoken to in our hearts so profoundly that this is the anchor for our soul, that you've entered into the Holy of Holies on our behalf to guarantee us great and precious realities, spiritual blessings for every single person in this room. You are for every one of us in a huge way, beyond words, through your Son. We thank you for that. Bring that to Turkey, Lord. Bless Brittany when she goes, the team there, around the world with this message and this ministry of grace to people that need it. They are hurting. They are troubled. They've had five husbands, or they've been again and again in a rehab, and others are proud and arrogant and living in their success. But the day of collapse is imminent. It'll happen one day on a deathbed when it means nothing. Come to Jesus now as you are. Come to Jesus and say to Jesus, I need you. Save me. Come into my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen.